His body lies lifeless, yet at peace in the medical bay. The hole in his torso patched with foam sealant as doctors and medbots frantically tend to the numerous survivors from the raceway. His heart may be ripped to shreds, but his soul is of the Phoenix, his only hope to survive. This isn't the first time he's died, after all. How did I end up in this position? Genetic experiments in a secret lab buried in an asteroid. A ruined temple on an ice planet. Clowns in hell not once, but twice. A bunch of junkyard dogs and planet-killing explosions. Death in the desert and among the stars. Blue gems turning red and more friends lost. One last race before the end. Monsters from the darkness eating everything.
Betrayal by a trusted ally. The only family I've ever known turned to ash. Death and rebirth by the grace of a phoenix. But I do have to thank the relentless medical staff and the technology of the Cavalon Empire for my miraculous recovery. And then, of course, I was thrown in prison for my suspicious connection to not just one, but two exploded planets. Not to mention all the demons and the cosmic horrors. Fair enough. And then I bounced around the prison system. Frankly, terrible. Until apparently my sentence was up. And here we are. And I had the wonderful opportunity to share my story with you, Lieutenant Waxley. And that is how it all happened.
The relatively young military officer you've come to know as Lieutenant Waxley sits across the metal table from you in the cramped interview room of the Janux Sector prison, where you've spent the last 6 months of your life. He jots notes down on his familiar data pad, but his face is contorted in equal parts incredulity and resignation. That was a fantastical story, Pike, but I cannot confirm any of the people, places, events that you mentioned. Is there anything here that's actually true? There's no known technology that can destroy an entire world. And according to my records, the charge that led to your incarceration was trespassing in an inspector station.
Let's be real, Waxley. The Empire's records are anything but well maintained.
Well, that may be true, but do you really expect me to believe anything you've said in the last several hours you've been in here selling this tale?
Whether you believe me or not is not really my concern. You asked for a story and I gave you one. But to be fair, I did get my ass kicked a few times in the slammer, so maybe it's just the brain damage talking.
Well, for your sake, I hope that your skull rattling around didn't impede your ability to bounty hunt. I was able to find records on you, Mr. Starfall. Surprising, considering what a drifter you seem to be. You could be of use to the Empire. I've spoken to my superiors, and I believe that I can get you parole, though you've only served 6 on a 12-month sentence. If you're willing to do one thing, secure a bounty for us.
A bounty? Are you serious?
I assure you, I'm not kidding. Bailiff's offices throughout the sector, probably 24 at this point, have been hacked. Thousands of notes stolen. All attempts to trace this hacker have failed.
So you're saying all I have to do is track down a hacker and get back all of that precious taxpayer money you're so concerned about?
That's exactly right. And bring him in, of course, for questioning. Alive.
And that's it? And then I'm a free man?
If you agree to the terms, we'll commute your sentence to time served. All of your papers and clearance will be reinstated.
What if I refuse?
Should you refuse, you'll simply be brought back here and serve out the rest of your 12-month sentence. And if you violate parole at any time, should you choose to accept this, you will have 3 additional years at it.
I guess that doesn't really leave me a choice now, does it?
I thought you might feel that way. So I called your partner, Rhett Indigo. He's on his way here to pick you up.
Well, at least there's that silver lining. I guess I'm in.
I have to warn you before you make this decision. This mission could be extremely dangerous. Deadly, even, from what we know of this bounty. Are you sure you want to accept?
If my luck runs out and I meet my end, that's not so bad, right? Whatever happens, happens.
I have to say, Pike, you're a strange one. I find you intriguing. Do you really not fear dying in the course of hunting?
Why would I? I told you. Wouldn't be the first time. And besides, a wise man once told me that the universe is a song. And that every living thing is a note in the music of existence that echoes through infinity. So when my time is up, I get to return to the harmony and become another irreplaceable part of that grand cosmic melody, the Stardust Rhapsody.
Pike, having taken the deal, you have been officially moved onto parole. You're dressed, you're once again back in your comfortable outfit you were collected in. You feel the comfortable weight of familiar clothes as they wrap around you. You are being escorted out of the prison by a large guard, a Laika. A dog-like person dressed in the imperial wear has you by the elbow as you are once again in familiar territory. A little bag of your other goods that were on you at the time of collection you have in your hand as he moves you through the last doors you know that separate you from, once again, true freedom. As they swing open, at the bottom of the stairs to the prison, you see a familiar sight. Standing there is Rhett, come to collect you, as promised.
Has the Laika guard let go of my arm?
Oh, as you get through the doors, he'll kind of release you. Just kind of like, you know, as you're moving through the prison system, you're not like running wild.
Yeah, yeah.
He's let you go as you move through the doors.
As I'm looking down at the stairs and I see the familiar shape, I'll stick my hands in my pockets and I'll kind of take a deep breath and sigh. And I'll begin to walk down the steps, slowly, not too much in a rush. And as I approach Rhett, I look at him and there's long pause. There's a moment of silence kind of between us and a small, wry smile will kind of appear at the corner of my mouth. But anybody who knows me would know that it's warmer than usual. And I would say, hey, big guy.
Pike fucking Starfall. How the hell are ya?
And we'll clasp hands and shake we'll bring it in. And I'll say, I'm doing all right.
You made it in one fucking piece, huh? And they let you keep that thing.
Yeah, and I'll actually hold up my right hand. And there's a little bit of shift in the gauntlet. It doesn't quite fit like it used to. It's a little bit loose.
Yeah. You feel almost as if you've lost a little weight while in prison. The food not to the... And you're not accustomed to incredible meals on the hunt. But what you were able to get while you were in prison, you feel a little, you could use a good meal.
They took it, but I convinced them it was just jewelry, and they gave it back upon my release.
Oh, you sly bastard. How was it?
Not great, to be honest with you. I kicked me around left and right. I think the papers got lost at a certain point. I'm not even sure how long I was supposed to be in there.
You know, I told you to be fucking careful when you got scooped up.
All of this over trespassing? I mean, come on.
I mean, you know the Cavalon Empire. You know, you fucking look at an officer the wrong fucking way, they'll lock your ass up for a year.
Yeah, wrong place, wrong time. I know their records aren't very good, but I gotta tell you something.
Yeah.
When I got in there, I didn't even tell them my last name.
You didn't even ask your last fucking name?
No, but the last guy I talked to, he knew it.
Wow. I mean, I know the records are bad, but I wonder how he found that.
I'm not sure. He offered me a job. And we'll get to that later. There's plenty of debriefing that we have to do.
Yeah, I want to know how you fucking talked your way out of this. As far as I recollect, you still had 6 months on your sentence.
Well, it didn't come without its fair share of ass kickings, I'll tell you that.
Well, look, all that matters is you're out and you're not in there.
So, before we dig in here and get back to the ship, what about money? What are we doing?
Well, I mean, I heard that, here's the thing. The reason why I came prepared with beef is that, a buddy that's pretty deep in the, Cavalon bureaucracy gave me a ring. And he got a word that they were gonna offer you a bounty to either commute your sentence or something else. So he gave me a little bit of a heads up. Is that fucking true? They're gonna let you just do one bounty and get away with all this?
That's what the lieutenant said. Waxley, I think was his name.
All right, well, my buddy Graf, he swore up and down that this is no easy feat, Pi. What did he tell you about the mark?
Said something about a hacker. Just have to bring him in alive. I mean, this seems like small fish to me. He said it was going to be deadly, but come on. We're bounty hunters, and they're just enforcement.
Well, what I heard is this hacker goes by the name of Hacksaw. And he's 10 feet tall, 1,000 pounds. Just ripped in muscles and a maw of razor-sharp fucking teeth.
Wait, are you serious?
That's what Graf said. Doesn't seem like the hacking type to me. You know the fucking Saurians. I mean, they're a scary lot.
Look, we got plenty of time to talk about this. I'm starving. Can we get back to the ship? Oh, how's the Sparrow doing?
Oh, she's in pitch perfect shape, and I made sure to give her a tune-up right before I came.
Look, I know we have to get to this bounty, but if we need some cash, if we gotta work up some notes, we'll pick up a few jobs before we get to that one, all right? We'll make it work.
Well, here's the thing. Cash flow is a little tight. I kind of spent the last of our money on carry out here, fueling up and getting things fixed up, and I had to hire some help.
Oh, no.
I mean, we need a crew if we're gonna take out a 10-foot-tall, 1,000-pound dinosaur hacker, man!
Red, it could have been just me and you and Hank, like the old days. We would have been fine.
Look, Graf really fucking talked this guy up, okay? I found the best tracer I could find this far from the core worlds, all right? And, he came along with an Esper buddy. And, they seem like fine, useful gentlemen. And they weren't cheap.
You know, normally I'd be pretty pissed, but you brought Carrie out, so I'll forgive you.
All right, well, let me introduce him to you.
Wait. Before we get back, I just want to say... thanks, Rhett. It's good to be back.
I'm glad to have you.
I missed you, man.
Wasn't the same without old Pike Starfall. You know that?
All right. Let's meet him.
I'll walk up the gangplank and walk into the ship. I don't know if Hank would be waiting there for us to.
Yeah, absolutely. Hank is waiting there as you walk up. The board drops down, greeting you as you return. Hank stands at the top of the hangar entrance as you walk up the bay as you walk up the plank into the bay.
He's excited to see you. Look, Hank. Pike's back.
He's jumping in circles he's leaping and jumping at the sight of you.
Might start howling.
As
so
you
excited.
First.
Left hand in pocket, I'll kind of just at the hips, just kind of like hinge lean over. And with my right hand, I'll give him one of these, and you can almost hear the gauntlet kind of jiggling around a little bit around my loose wrist.
You do so, and you can hear it's very faint. It's hard to hear over how happy the excited noises of Hank celebrating your arrival after so many months.
It's good to see Hank. Yeah,
but you notice it for sure as it jingles on your arm.
All right. Oh, hold up. I gotta show you something. Let's go to your room. And I'll lead Pike to his quarters, and I'll hit the button to open the door.
You head down the familiar pathway to reach the lounge area where you'd be able to enjoy a meal.
Yeah, I follow along.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, please.
All right, so again, just to give you a heads up, right? These fellas, they're nice enough, but they are guns for hire. All right, we're going to share a delicious meal with them. And I got plenty, so don't worry. But, you know, the tracer fella, he does most of the talking. And I don't really know what to say about the Esper. And then we'll get to the door of the lounge.
You're making your way down this kind of like almost hexagonal hallway. Your footsteps clatter. The sensation of truly returning home. Hits you, Pike. Everything starts to come back kind of as you move. You hit a familiar stride. And really, not just the warmth of the sun, but the warmth of this almost familiar moment as you approach the door. You can feel the hunger hit your stomach like a punch in the gut when you start to hear voices on the other side of the door as you approach the lounge. And then you walk up and the door swings open or extends open in front of you as it cuts in half, moving upward and downward. And in front of you, you see...
Pike, I'd like to introduce you to the finest tracer this side of the Cavalon Empire, Mr. Quibbly Gones, and his loyal sidekick, Gluckbondo. Fellows, this is Pike!
Well, howdy! It's a pleasure to meet you, Pike. How's it going? It's a pleasure. I'm Quibbly.
Quibbly, you said.
Exactly right, and this here is Glupgabondo.
Mindy Yar Bargon.
That means he says hello.
Well, it's a pleasure to meet you both. I'm Pike.
Your reputation precedes you, sir. I understand that you've been in the slammer, but Rhett has told us a lot about you.
I stop.
Before we continue, very briefly, do you guys want to describe your characters?
Oh, my pleasure. What you would have seen when the doors opened upwards and downwards, you see me with my feet up on the table. What appears to be a large Stetson cowboy hat appears on the top of my head. No dimples. It has an open crown. But you realize very quickly that I am an ammonite. I am part fungal. I am almost a mushroom man. And so the cap of my mushroom head just appears to have this sort of Western cowboy flavor. I wear a vest, and hanging at my hip is what you can see appears to be a large revolver, a laser pistol. I will pull my booted feet off of the table, and that's when I jump up to greet you and shake your hand, as I did.
You see what looks like a relatively large, probably the largest of the crew here, in these strange robes that are clasped by a mechanical collar that glow around my neck, an amphibian-looking creature with four arms, with large webbed hands. I have large frog-like lips and two eye stalks that kind of look around, as I have three little bulb antennae that, sprout from my head. As and I'm wearing very simple. My clothing is very simple. It's not as dapper and put together as Quibbly's.
There's an awkward pause after you say that means he says hello.
That means he says hello.
And there's a silence that kind of falls amongst the three of us. And I turn.
Look, bye. It was the best I could do on such short notice and such low funds.
The best you could do, you could do no better, my friend.
I'm just kidding.
Like, I'm a mistool.
Just a joke.
And I'll kind of like grimace, like wink at Pike a little bit, like,
well, let's eat.
You got them laser noodles?
I'll go to the, I'll walk to the table at the back of the lounge and put the large bag of food on the table, and I'll start opening it and pulling out, you know, the
crack it open, and you spread dishes around the table that has the containers of food, inviting everyone to come up and enjoy a meal.
Ah. Ichuba Tunaga.
Oh, yeah, well, they don't have longworms, I'm afraid. That's not on this planet.
Dr. Gruntug.
The moment that you lay everything out, I stop talking, and I just immediately dive in, and I am like shoveling food into my mouth to the point where it's like concerning how quickly I'm inhaling this food.
So the reason why I settled on Mr. Goins here is that he came highly recommended for finding folks that particularly don't want to be found. And would you say that's your particular skill set, Mr. Goins?
That's very much our specialty, my specialty in particular. I am happy to trace what needs tracing, find what needs finding, investigate what needs investigating. Between me and old Gluppy here, we tend to make a pretty powerful team.
All right, well, that's good news, because about the only information I have is we're looking for this Haxor.
Haxor? Well, we're about five steps ahead of you. I'm happy to tell you that I've been doing my some investigating myself after
Juba.
After Rhett tipped me off that we might be looking for him, I started to well, I mean, we don't have to get to business right away unless you want to hear the particulars.
Well, I think one thing I'd like to maybe ask is that we've never worked with an Esper before. And so obviously we know what Espers are, you know, mind powers and all that.
Bosca Chisoroka.
And so I'm just kind of curious how it all works. And maybe your specific brand of Espen.
I'll wave one of my hands.
And the cloak flows around his arm briefly as he slowly motions with his hand across the two of you.
And I will, levitate. One of the cigarettes from your pack will levitate. And it'll levitate out, pull out of the pack, and, I will, raise another one of my arms, my left lower arm, as it'll raise up, and then I'll go, and there's a, like, almost like a small sonic boom, and there's almost like a miniature explosion that is at the tip of your cigarette, and it'll ignite.
Wow, that's Glup holding back. I promise you, he's dead useful in a bad situation.
Well, I guess worst case scenario, he'll make a good lighter.
Oh, so anyway, I appreciate the initiative that you went ahead and got started.
Yeah, tomorrow's too late to start. I wanted to start yesterday.
So, what can you tell us about the Haxor?
Oh, hell, he's a talented hacker, that's for sure, but you have to understand that
I have connections. I'm good at knowing folk. And I started to do some poking around, talking to different bailiffs. You see, all hackers, no matter how talented they may be, they require funds to do what they need doing. You can't just hack your way into food and all that sort of thing. No. So I started to shake a few hands and smile a few smiles, and I found out that there were, after a few donations, evidence of hacking in the various transactions, banks, that sort of thing.
Oh, so what's he doing? Just funneling the money straight from the bank?
Well, there's just the evidence of that. I'm not sure exactly what he was buying, but there were clearly some fraudulent transactions, and I was able to find one in this record over here, find one in this record over here, find one in this record over here. Putting them together, I was able to triangulate a coordinate.
But you fucking know where he is? You have the coordinates?
Well, now let's not get so far. I was able to triangulate. But it wasn't enough, so I had to talk to yet another bailiff. And I was able to find a fourth source. And when I quadrangulated, that's when I was able to find the coordinates.
Busca Dima!
Exactly right, very effective.
So what you're saying is you have the coordinates?
Yes. Aren't you listening to my story?
All right.
Are we sure that this is all the information we have about this guy?
That's all I was able to find about the location of a hacker. There's only one conclusion to draw, and that's that this is the Hacksaw.
And that he's 10 feet tall, 1,000 pounds, with a maw of razor sharp teeth.
Yeah, but something doesn't add up to me here. Why would they just let me walk if we bring in some common hacker stealing some notes?
Oh, this is not just a few notes. From what I can tell, these transactions, they are in the thousands, tens of thousands of notes. Of course they'd want to bring them in.
Pechuska Cavalon no Kuni.
I mean, it's exactly the Glup's point.
All right.
I mean, if you skim off the fucking Empire's payroll, it won't take too kindly to that.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, there's no sense in putting off work. I can rest while we travel. Besides, I've done enough resting over the last 6 months outside of the few scraps that I got myself into.
Oh, sure.
Which reminds me, if we're looking for more help, there was one individual that was rather impressive back there in the clink.
Oh, you mean a fucking thug in the prison?
Yeah, but she was an actual badass, not like the way I talked up old Rex. She's getting out soon, and she can handle herself.
All right, well, let's keep her in mind. I mean, how soon is soon?
You know, when dealing with them, it's hard to say. I could have been lost in there forever. The point is, I got a good feeling from
it. Zadari Beskar?
Yeah, I mean, there's no question. It sounds like there might be a fifth. And excuse me, I don't want to make presumptions.
Onki Chesko Dokuli.
I mean, four is good, five is better.
Regardless of fucking whether we're quadrangulating or quintangulating this fucking thing, we don't have time to wait around for someone to fucking get out of jail. If you got the coordinates on this guy, I mean, who knows how long he's gonna lay low there? He might up and move at any second.
I agree. Time is of the utmost. I propose we go right away.
Mulira.
The world of Pillion, exactly correct.
How far away are we from these coordinates, give or take?
Oh, that's up to our navigator.
They go come over and feel free to punch in the coordinates. There's a screen right there, some, you know, controls below.
Hank takes the coordinates from Quibbly as he goes to his little station. Interfacing with the ship, he inserts the coordinates. You come to find that, and it makes sense, all of this, this hacking, this crime, what Quibbly was able to find of evidence of Hacksaw getting into these bailiff offices and siphoning notes kind of off the top of incoming currency. It's all triangulated back to a small outpost in the same space sector. So you would infer that you could get there relatively quickly. a couple hours.
Oh, this ain't far at all. Just a few hours.
No, and I actually found the particulars of where we're headed on them there planet.
All right, well, let's finish dinner. Get on our way.
All right, if there's nothing else that we need to talk about before we head out, I think I'm gonna spend some time in my room.
You know what, Pike? I'll allow it. You've earned it. I'm kidding, go on.
I'm just concerned if we're gonna get right to work. I gotta loosen up.
To Rhett's point, I think you've earned a few Z's. Rest up. Get limber.
Well, no, I mean, that brings up a good point, right? Like, I hate to, you know, step foot out of fucking prison right onto the ship and we're off on a bounty, but I'm just worried if we wait, he's gonna, you know, escape.
Yes, Pajadik.
Time is of the essence.
Don't worry about me. I'll be fine. I'm just a little rusty is all. I'm eager to get back to work.
Well, I hope you can keep up. We tend to move real quick.
I think I'll be all right.
Good. That's what I like to hear.
Get some rest. You keep hanging beers in the fridge.
Oh!
Up to the bridge.
And it's at this point you see energy pylons, three to each wall, and they're all in relative disrepair, crackling, sparking. You can see not only are the flames spurting out and blast firing this like enamel coating, but almost these like arcs of this orange lightning are kissing out into the room. As you move forward. And the rest of you will also catch that behind this frosted glass, you see the large, looming silhouette of Haxor, as 10 feet tall, enormously muscular, razor teeth as it bends into a smile, before it bends briefly into a frown. You see him almost run to the glass, and as he approaches, the silhouette gets smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. As he gets straight up to the glass, you can't yet make him out, but he starts banging on it, and he says, "Help, help, please, please! I just wanted a place to relax! I just wanted a place to house my goods! I just wanted a comfortable setting! But I've accidentally activated all of the base's defenses, and now I can't escape! Please!"
What in the fuck? We'll get you out of there! We're gonna have to bring you in, I hope you understand that. No fucking tricks.
Prison, I haven't eaten in 3 hours, please. It's so tough.
3 hours?
I'm running low. I don't care if I go to prison. I don't care. Please, I just wanna get out. I just wanna go home.
They feed you well in prison. 3 square a day.
You see the pounding. You see the pounding, and Haxor continues to call out.
I only set those recordings just to not be bothered. I accidentally turned on the defenses. I didn't mean to. They keep me in here as much as they kept anyone out. Please, please.
Everyone continues to move forward on the conveyor belt as you approach and you approach, and it becomes. It becomes clearer now that as you get there, this form, this deep, rumbling voice speaking to you through the comms of this window, modulated and rough, short, these goggles on, holding what looks kind of like a pad, not too dissimilar from the pad Waxley used to interview in prison. However, far more seemingly. Far more kind of technologically advanced. Definitely a similar interaction with what he could mean to do, though, a way to interface with certain things. And he has this kind of natural green outfit. Almost looks like he's wearing like a hoodie and shorts.
And he doesn't quite look like the kind of guy that strikes terror in the hearts of bounty hunters and imperial officers the space round.
Having made it past this horrific anamalizer, I'm looking around trying to take in more of the room to try to figure out how to get down from here, having heard the modulated voice say they might be able to walk us through it. Mm-hmm. But I still have the wherewithal as I'm trying to take all of this in to lock eyes with Rhett and say, you know, I'm starting to think that you owe me that beer.
How old does he look?
I'd say, you're not exactly an expert on, like, Saurian biology.
Not, he's not, like, some but he giant looks older
young.
Dude. Okay.
No, he looks kind of young. He's not like a giant older guy. He looks maybe, like, not even 30, maybe, like, mid-20s. He has this kind of, like, youngish-looking red, scaly skin, and you see almost, like, these straps, almost as if he's standing there with a literal backpack on. And it is very dissimilar from the description given to you ahead of time. And still with the pounding, that guttural, almost roar-like voice as he communicates with you.
Please! Please!
All right!
Just get me out of here!
All right, all right!
I just want to live!
Look!
Please!
Where's the control panels there? Is that the one?
Sir, just a couple minutes. I can walk you through it, I think.
All right. If you don't fucking double cross us and you walk us through this and this ain't some trick, we're gonna get you out of here alive. I fucking swear it.
And it's as you say, we're gonna get you out of here alive. The almost like the tension of the air changes. It's weird. It's gone. You almost don't even notice it at first, but it's gone eerily silent, except for the dull pounding of Haxor on the glass. And you almost start to notice that he's lost. He slowed his rhythm as he kind of looks out at you, almost quizzically. And then what you hear is a voice that fills all your minds.
I'm afraid I can't let you do that.
What? Who the fuck is that? Who is that?
You are not getting this quarry out alive, and neither shall you be leaving.
Is this clear that this is my dearest friend, Bondo?
Dearest friend is a little severe.
I would say that as this voice echoes and bounces and rattles around in your brain, you have noticed, as previously you were looking up at Haxor, ready to get him out, you turn and you see that your comrades, battle stance ready, but not facing Haxor, facing you. Glup standing there is calm and as confident as you've ever seen him, as he looks directly at you and you hear these words echoing in your mind. You look as you scan over the scene in front of you, and Quibbly, weapon drawn, leveled at you.
The moment that I see Quibbly has his weapon drawn, I stand up as tall and I draw down on him. Don't do this.
Now you just hold on there, partner. This is all part of a grander plan.
What do you mean? The goal was to bring him in alive.
That was your contract. Our contract needs him to die.
Rhett, where did you find these guys?
I swear it was fucking Graf. A fucking double crosser.
We've been set up.
What do you mean? What? There's another fucking contract?
My antennae will be kind of crackling with psionic energy as I will... You'll hear my voice speaking in Galactic Common.
This one is the son of an ambassador. The peace that is almost being brokered in this sector is not advantageous to the future of the galaxy, according to our employer. You have skills that would be usable. Perhaps we can work out an arrangement, but we must kill the young one.
We're not fucking killing him. We gotta bring him in alive. Who the fuck do you work for?
That is none of your concern.
Red, I don't think we have any other choice.
So are we fucking doing this? Is that what you're fucking telling me right now, right here?
Agents sent by the Empire, assassinating a poor helpless child, the son of an ambassador from the Sorok dynasty. This sector will be consumed in war, and you got your kill in, but you were victim to the security mechanisms of this factory. All according to plan, Quibbly.
I'm afraid you're about to be framed.
No, no. I'm not going back, Red. It's not happening.
No, we're not gonna let this fucking happen. You have one last fucking chance. I fucking implore y'all to reconsider. I don't think this is gonna go as well as you think it will.
Well,
I try to say two words at the same time.
Well, I'm not so sure about that. We got the draw on you.
You are certain in defending this boy's life, are you?
That's the fucking job.
I'll kind of levitate a little bit in the air as my psychic energy will crackle, as I'll reach and I'll pull off my... as I will drop down the metal collar, as my robe billows, as my head starts surging.
Pity.
I'm close enough to Rhett that I don't feel the need to shout this. I kind of give him a side eye. I say, you take Quibbly. I'm going to close distance and I'm taking out Glup. You got it?
I got it. Say when.
Go!
And the ether engine whirs to life. Pike, his stance shifts to his front foot. Glup, cloak billowing out as the manacle around his neck falls to the ground and clatters. The spin of a chamber as the six-shooter clashes together, drawn. I need everyone to roll for initiative.
Yeah! Jackasses! You bastards!
I have not failed a single contract. You will not stop me, Quibbly.
And I'm going to look into your eyes as you're kind of coming back.
You had followed the training of the Esper well. Is your mind clear? Think of the spoon. Do you think that you could bend the ninth level?
I think I could. I think I could do anything right now. I'm with you, Glup. I'm with you.
I can see your psychic energy is strong, Quibbly, as I'll kind of, I'll put like one, my fingers will glow, my three antennae will glow,
and one hand, another hand, another hand, I'll reach another hand, basically a finger on each side of your head, as I'll say,
Quibbly, you were a good friend.
As I use my special move to explode your head and cast Warhead Ascension and devour your psychic energy that I have been training you for.
What? What are you doing?
I fall apart like jackfruit.
Don't look now. I think Glup just killed Quibbly.
That moment, you can almost barely hear the horrible death throes of Quibbly as Glup reaches out and rends the mental energies from his mind, consuming them. What you see in front of you is Glup's antennas no longer leaning, as suddenly the form, the crackling of that teal lightning energy starts to pulse all around him as you see the frame of his head now not just lightly thumping, but truly drumming as these almost mental sounds of war start to beat out through the room. The lifeless form of Quibbly, Glup lifts up and casts forcefully aside. It rockets through one of the blast shields and strikes limply the glass of the control panel as Quibbly for a moment slides and then
Rhett.
Slowly keep, drops down.
Keep focusing on what you're doing, but
onto the conveyor belt.
He fucking blew his head off.
And with your warhead's ascension, Derek, can you leave the table
for
the
fuck. My free object interaction while this is happening is I pull out a cigarette and I light it. And I take a deep draw. And while Rhett's doing his thing, as I exhale, I say, "This might be it, buddy." And I ash it, and I flip the cigarette away, and I say, "But it wouldn't be fun if we won every time."
You know, Pac, you ain't wrong, but I hate to fucking ask you to do this, but cover me. And I'm literally just gonna fucking ignore Glup, and I'm just going to do what I can to try to fucking get Haxor out of there. While they show down.
Phoenix child, this is not how it should have ended. It is a simple contract. You could have been wealthy.
Rhett, it is to you. You've been hearing the call of Haxor as he's tried to walk you through what you can do here. But this still continues to prove difficult. You get the sense that if you were laser focused in on this, it would probably take you 3 to 4 more rounds to break him free. However, it's at this moment that you notice the glass. You hear it before you turn to glance up. When Glump had consumed Quibbly and cast him aside, it was with such force that as he collided with the glass, he had cracked it ever so slightly. And that crack has begun to spider gently. You think that maybe a well-placed blast could solve your problem?
This is taking too long! Your instructions don't make any fucking sense! Oh, fuck! And I look at Pike, and he's, you know, his mind's rattled.
He's bloodied. You can see he's kind of like, he's got his stance, but he's
you
shuffling.
You watch me stumble every once in a while. Like, exactly. Clearly something mentally is going on with me. I'm not, I look punch drunk.
Focus on our song, Pike! And remember, first chance, last dance! Don't fucking forget!
And I will fucking turn from the fucking console, and I'll lift my fucking grav can. Fuck it. And I'm gonna shoot at the fucking motherfucking
Haxor better duck.
As the crack splinter, this arcing beam cracks it. There's an explosion of glass that bursts first upward as your beam continues to strike the ceiling and almost blasts clear out of the foundry that you find yourself
in. The glass is broken, so we don't accidentally.
Yeah.
And you hear. And then you hear Haxor step to the now open glass and greet you for the first time. In front of you, you see the red, scaly figure, goggles snapped onto the eyes, a backpack around the shoulders, a tremble a bit, you can see, an overwhelming experience faced in front of him, clad in this black and green top with a hood that pulls over, shorts on. Haxor joins the fray.
Ziggy, child, I harbor no ill will towards you. Your parents are too important. Ambassador Wu must feel pain.
Kill him! Kill him! Save me! Oh, please save me!
Hang in there, kid! I'm coming!
I take no joy in this, but a contract is a contract. Century 2112 will be one of There will be a war. There will be no peace between the Cavalon and the Saurok. This is what I have been paid for. This is the mission I have accepted. This is what will be done,
You're thinking of my father. You're thinking of my mom and dad. You don't want me. I'm just a kid.
You are collateral damage.
No! Glup! And I'm just gonna run. I'm gonna charge you in 5, 10, 15. Basically throw myself at you as I go to, again, with my last key point. Yeah, I'd use two. With my last key point, two flurry of blows, you for three attacks.
Okay.
20 to hit.
Hits.
22 to hit.
Hits.
21 to hit.
Holy! Rolling hot fire.
I love monks.
Roll high, roll high, roll high.
4 and 5 is 9. Plus 6 is 15. Plus 15 is 30 points of bludgeoning damage over 3 attacks.
How do you want to do this?
I watch a Ziggy whose name I don't know. I may have heard you say it.
I would
but,
have said it.
But yeah. I'm not making that connection. Yeah. I'm thinking this kid.
Hacksaw.
And I'm like, kid, I'm coming. Yeah, Hacksaw, I'm coming for you, kid. Don't worry. And I run. And I basically throw myself on top of Glup. And I'm like, stay away from the kid. And I drive my fist deep into your soft, fleshy skull to try to basically penetrate it and crush your brain.
Every time that you throw a punch into his brain, you strike what feels like brick. But every time you strike him in the skull, the brain chaotically bounces out and comes back in. Chaotically bounces out and comes back in. Lightning is arcing. Brain matter is now swirling around the both of you as you are trapped within his terrible mental storm of influence. Punching, slam, and one final blow as you pull him up and you knock him back, and Glup, you float out into the air over the conveyor room above. In your final moments, is there any declaration?
As my voice will kind of go into your brains.
Consciousness is eternal for the Esper Union is Lamondo Unipotai.
As I will use my dying act to, as my brain is surging as a warhead. As I hit the ground.
That same explosion. You go through the lines of conveyor as you slowly sink. You reach the Dodonganite, already ignited. As the crackling orange energy, your body is struck and almost passed around the floor as it seems to meld and begin to meld with the teal, chaotic explosion of your brain. As your own energies erupt, and all of the conveyor belts are cast asunder, an explosion of concussive mental force, as all this stuff is flung up in the air. Rhett, you are cast asunder above as you go flying up through the sky.
I do my best to like throw myself over top of this kid. Just the best of my ability.
You do so. You lunge over Ziggy up in the control center as he's already on the ground as you cover him to try and protect from the blast. This terrible concussive force blasts up a whirlwind of machinery, orange energy arcing, brain matter explodes everywhere. The room is asunder, and it's not over yet. Because the whole place starts to shake as now every energy core in the entire building is warbling and glowing orange. You have moments to get out of this room.
I'm shell-shocked, basically, like from the absolute concussiveness
of this
shit. I'm
on the ground. I got knocked, you know, here.
Yeah, you got knocked up into the control room.
The moment that I can shake my head and kind of clear it, just clear my eyes, I realize I'm still on top of the Hacksaw, and I'm holding him by his hoodie, and I say, "Get up, kid! Get up!" And I'm going to stand up and try to pick you up to the best of my ability. We got to get out of here now. How do we get out?
All right. I just have to get a few of my things.
There's no fucking time! And I'm gonna like, shove you in the direction. Like, go! Lead the way!
I lead the way.
You take a quick glance over your shoulder and you see that everything you had built here, this place just starts to level itself as you finally get outside. And even though everything is terrible and horrendous, for a moment, it seems as though you've survived.
I'm going to take a few steps and then basically just collapse in the dirt.
Oh. I feel like Kazuma Lightforge, the last son. On the first episode of Blade Orphan Turbo Vengeance Season 4.
Will you just shut up for 5 seconds? What were you doing in there?
What do you mean, what was I doing?
How did you get yourself trapped in an old Ivo Industries fucking abandoned factory?
I forgot a semicolon or two, and then all of a sudden the code ran, and I couldn't get the door open. I was all out of soda and chips, and I was in there for a few hours.
Haxor?
Yeah! Haxor. That's my username.
I mean,
that's my grid runner name.
Grid runner name?
Yeah.
So you're a grid runner.
I'm the best.
Haxor. So you're saying that's not your real name?
My real name is Ziggy.
So he fucking knew. I heard it in my head. Gluck calling you that.
You guys are awesome. You guys are like superheroes. You guys are really cool.
No. We're just bounty hunters.
We're anything but. Oh, you're lucky to be alive. I'm just gonna fucking say it.
I know. Mechanically, I have 1 hit point.
Why did they want to kill you?
Well, my parents are pretty important.
I see. You're saying something about
ambassadors?
Something like that.
Parents are fucking ambassadors.
Yeah, they're senators for the Saurians.
And they were gonna pin all of this on us.
They were?
You remember a single line from Glup as you have this conversation. Century 2112 will be one of war.
So they're trying to fucking pit the Sorok dynasty against the Cabalon Empire.
I guess.
How do we get wrapped up in this stuff? To think all of this started over just a little bit of red line.
You know what? That seems like a fucking lifetime ago when we were fucking going after the goddamn Scarlet Eye Syndicate.
I gotta tell you, it wasn't just the trespassing.
What do you mean?
When they picked me up in the wrong place and the wrong time, I had a little bit of red line on me.
What? Park! We have 1 fucking rule!
Look, you sent me after those guys. I found a low-level dealer. I was onto something. I thought I could take it as evidence. Lo and behold, they pick me up, I've got the evidence on me, they don't believe me, they throw me in the slammer.
No shit.
Ziggy, it's in the course of them having this conversation, Redline, Scarlet Eye Syndicate, Redline, that these phrases jostle something for you. You realize that you've had run-ins with this syndicate before, that you know a little bit about what they've gone through, who they've been dealing with.
You're talking about the... Sorry, can you repeat the Crimson...
Scarlet Eye Syndicate.
The Scarlet Eye Syndicate?
Yeah. Scarlet Eye Syndicate, also known as the Red Belts. They're either suppliers or dealers or manufacturers of the stuff called Redline. Nasty drug.
I've dealt with them before. They're chumps on the hypergrid.
Seriously?
Yeah.
We've been trying to get info on these guys for... Well, the better part of a few years.
Yeah, you're saying you could help us?
I could get you files. Files upon files.
Oh, we don't want the stuff. We're trying to get to the bottom of this. Shit. I don't think we can turn this kid in.
What about your fucking parole?
That lieutenant guy, he said 3 more fucking years if they catch me breaking parole.
I mean, the whole factory blew. Maybe Axor's dead.
You're gonna... Oh, you mean, like a deception.
Wait a minute, you've got... What are the chances you can make yourself disappear?
It wouldn't be too hard. I mean, it would take me a couple hours, but I could make it happen. And then after that, I could get you guys info on any members that you are interested in, or...
What about my records? What if we both just start with a clean slate? This is the closest we've had to a lead in as long as I can remember.
I never thought that fucking stumbling upon a grid runner would be us catching a break for once in our goddamn lives.
I know that I called myself a kid. I was panicked, but I'm not really a kid. All right, I'm
a 36-year-old Redditor. Sorry, I couldn't
that is not true.
I couldn't help myself.
I'm in my mid-20s.
You might as well be a kid. I mean, jeez.
I know stuff. I know all kinds of stuff. I can help out.
What do you think, Red? I mean, he handled himself okay. That was...
I mean, he fucking saved our lives. We wouldn't be fucking standing here if it wasn't for him. I feel bad throwing this kid in jail.
You don't have to. I'll just let me come with you. I would love to. And I don't have to go to jail. My parents would be very, very angry.
You got a lot to teach this kid.
Yeah, but, I mean, now that we don't have old Blup and Quimbley, could use a grid runner. I mean, it's a skill gap between us, I'll admit. You put me up against one panel that's fucking jacked into the hypergrid, I don't know what to do. I mean, Hank has the best shot, and I'm not gonna fucking risk him. He's gotta stay on the ship.
He couldn't even open that door.
There's a moment of pause. I look to Rhett, I look at the kid. Look back to Rhett and I say, or I just do this.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. All right.
Don't make me fucking regret this. Welcome to the crew of the Rhapsody.
Thank you. The what?
The Rhapsody. My ship. Our ship.
Oh. All right.
That's sort of our thing, you know?
The Rhapsody. All right. Rhapsody. Cool. Yeah, that's right. Cool.
You make your way to the closest outpost town, and the next day, Pike, you find yourself on a holocall. Dead, you say? Foundry exploded. Everything vaporized?
It was quite the mess.
Well, we wanted him back alive for questioning, but he's stolen a lot from the Empire. Had to know how it happened.
I understand, but things kind of went pear-shaped.
All the same, I suppose he's no longer a problem. I think we can consider your sentence commuted. Your parole ended.
Well, it's a pleasure doing business with you.
I feel the same, Pike. You can tell your companion, Rhett, your gate codes have been reestablished. Your papers and identification re-engaged for Imperial gate travel.
Understood.
Be safe out there.
Likewise.
In the interim, while you were straightening that out, Ziggy was able to find a lead on the Scarlet Eye Syndicate. Hacking through some servers, he found interesting coordinates pointing you to the next step in pursuing a contract, a bounty you have had for quite a while now. The Rhapsody slowly takes off into air in a totally different sector of space you find yourselves heading. These large rings connect, one encircles around the other. As they begin to spin opposite ends of themselves, you approach slowly as you are hailed, Rhett, for Imperial gate codes that check. You see while Pike was out communicating, you see almost in the same moment you have been green flagged for codes and you have them to provide.
You can scan our codes. Everything should be in order.
You see almost this script run across the screen as your codes are fetched, cleared, and released. The gate spins to life as this brilliant energy comes online. This neon roadway extends in front of you as the Rhapsody slowly pulls out into the sections of this gate, and as as the nose begins to enter, it's pulled faster and faster as you explode away into light speeds. With your first lead in almost a year and a new party member, the crew of the Rhapsody is finally back on the hunt, out amongst the stars. And that's where we'll end the session.